So welcome to Christ Church Missions Festival. And this morning for our Dell class, we've got John Chen joining us, and he's going to share about the work, the church in China. Much in the news lately, China, Wuhan, and coronavirus, and all of that. And so John is from China. He's a graduate of Calvin Seminary. He's graduated with both a Master of Divinity and Master of Theology at Calvin. And his wife, Deborah, is in China at the moment, doing some medical, getting some medical attention. But we could pray for her because she's in Beijing, and I guess just read recently that they're in kind of a lockdown situation as well. And daughter Sarah is a student finishing up at Calvin College here. And John works with the Christian Leadership, which is involved with online learning in several different languages, including now Chinese, which John has been translating those courses and making them available. He also works with Bob Fu, China Aid Ministry. Bob Fu was recently here at Calvin for the January series lecture. And so he's been very active in doing a lot of translating work, and he's been very, over the years, been involved here at Christ Church. I've been John's mentor since he started at Calvin Seminary for about 7-8 years now, and it's been a joy to be involved with him and his family. And so we're going to just hear what he has to say about the church in China. What we hear about China lately has been pretty negative, and it's a persecuted church, but a strong and vibrant church that God is using in some pretty amazing ways. We're going to be hearing about that. So John is from China. He's got an accent, so listen carefully. He's going to try to speak slowly and clearly so that you can understand what he's saying, but just put your extra strong listening ears on this morning, and we're going to pray now that God will use this time for his sake. And we pray, Lord, now that you'll be with us as you have been through the generations, as we're reminded with our missions theme, that you have been faithful through all these generations to your people. And we pray you'll be with us again this morning. We'll hear your voice and be able to join in praying and supporting the work of the church in China, and that your faithfulness will be with them, especially during these trying times with this virus that is so devastating the country. So be with John now as he speaks to us, and we pray that you'll just bless him and give him a real freedom to speak what's on his heart. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. And, you know, Pastor Dan just introduced me. I'm from China, so I'm a Chinese product exported here, but not before the coronavirus. So I'm not infectious. If it is infectious, I hope it is a good way. Because the Lord's working my life. I hope the grace of the Lord can give you some impact. And also, you know, I have some accent, and I speak not pure English. I speak Chinglish, because it is Chinese English. So sometimes I have to struggle with the accent. How to pronounce this? For example, interrogate. And for a few times, Pastor Dan and his wife, they just try to crack me, and so try to give me a right way to pronounce it. But anyway, today, the work the Lord has done in my life will be a kind of grace language. I hope it can understand that. And also, I'm exported here before the trade war. So that is by, not by the American government's tax and tariff rate, but by the grace of the Lord's most favored rate. So that is by the grace of the Lord. So that part also speak from the grace of the Lord. So I hope those grace that work in my life can at least give you some influence in some way. So that's why I choose a topic that influence David, and also that is a turning point in my life or my ministry. That is Psalm 103. So I choose a topic for that, that is a beloved ministry. Just a moment, I have to put this online. So why choose this? So why I choose this psalm? Because it is a psalm that is written by David in his later life. He suffered quite a lot. He was raised by the Lord from a shepherd boy to be a king and a servant of the Lord. And also he write about his spiritual journey from personal concern of his own salvation or his forgiveness from the Lord, and also his concern for the people, and then his concern for those people who suffer and those people who are not believers. And then he also talk about the universal worship. So that is a part of his spiritual journey. And this psalm actually also a song that influenced me a lot, because in the part of time my ministry, I'm doing ministry, so I'm at the edge of being burned out. This may be the last sermon I prepare to preach, but the Lord through this psalm just changed my life, because that is also a kind of spiritual journey every believer should go through. So I hope this sharing can encourage in some way, because even though I'm a foreigner here, but we are all foreigners in this world. So maybe sometimes we can just sort of cheer up at each other, and then I'll be good. So on this psalm, it's divided into four parts. The first two verses is David's call to the congregation. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise his holy name. And then at the end of this psalm, he said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and that enclosed that. This is psalm is usually it is considered as the average of the psalm. So it tells about our spiritual journey that we are targeted at. Because the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Shorter Catechism tell us our aim is to know God and enjoy God forever, right? And then the verse 3 and 4, it is a kind of reflection of his life. That is what he experienced in his life. First, he didn't put his fighting with the other countries or nations. He put first his sin forgiven by the Lord. In Samuel, the second Samuel, chapter 11, it is recorded his sin with Bathsheba and the wife of Uriah. So he first think about that, and then he said, the Lord forgive his sins. And then he also thought about the healing of the Lord in his life, because, you know, in his past years, he is a successful king, and then he, even at the end of his life, he counted the number of his army, and suddenly the plague. And that is his, what he thought about the most. So he didn't say much about his fighting, his good leadership. He just talked about that. And that is a breakthrough of every of us, because if we stop at that point, we are self-centered. It is only a self-centered kind of salvation or ministry. And then I would just talk about, after this, I would talk about my first stage of being self-centered. So at that time, you will see this guy. This guy is my classmate. He led me to the Lord, but he's also a troublemaker, because the first year when we were in the school, he invited me to celebrate the Christmas celebration, but when we were there, we were caught by the policeman, and we were interrogated for, I was interrogated for 2.5 hours, and he was interrogated for maybe half a day. At that time, I'm still not a believer. So from that time, I began to struggle. I think, oh, Christianity is bad because it caused a lot of trouble. But sometimes I'm also a troublemaker, because at that time, I was invited to lead a class taught by my friend. He is an English teacher, and then he invited me to teach his class because he is touring. He was touring. And I taught that class, and the class, all the class, write a letter to the university, said, we don't want that professor, we want you to teach us. So I got fired that professor, but that gave me some kind of money I earned. From that time, I earned my schooling through that time. So after that, I still got more a chance to work some good companies. So that's why I don't want to be a Christian, and because I earn good money, maybe 5 times of the average salary, and I think Christianity is some trouble. So I escape, you know, There is a name of John printed in the bulletin. Why I choose John? Because John is a short term of Jonah. And also a name for the apostle John. Because it is a combination. Jonah escaped for quite a little while, the ministry the Lord caused him to do. And I try to escape the Lord's calling. Because first, I don't want to be a Christian because it is a trouble. And then when I was a Christian in 1996, through some miracles, I escaped the calling to be a minister. I said, I can support the other ministers, but I will never do a ministry by myself. Because I think it will lead me into poverty. But because I was born in the rural area, all my life I want to support my father and my mother to live a good life. Because in my childhood, I remember we never have enough food to eat. So those years I struggled quite a lot. So when I know the Lord, I know the Lord is real. But not knowing I myself is a sinner. Because the first encounter, real encounter with the Lord is when I was on a business trip. I was taking a bus, long distance bus to another city. And some bad guy actually controlled that bus and they asked for more money for that. And they beat the passenger sat beside me and they asked for money. I said, I can pay you the money. I can pay his fare to you. But they said, we don't want the money. We enjoy beating him. And that is the first time I prayed to the Lord. Lord, if you are real, if you are an existing God, punish those bad guys. And maybe around 15 miles, the policeman just came and caught those bad guys. And that is my first encounter with the Lord. But after that, I think maybe it is a coincidence. I just forgot it. And then someday when I walk into the restaurant, the Chinese restaurant, you really worship idols, right? And they burn incense. They offer some sacrifice or some money or some fruits in front of that. And then those incense smell get me sick. I preach the second prayer that is serious. Lord, I know if you are real, please punish those guys and just try to move those idols and in some way save those people. And I prayed, I forgot it. And 1 week later, because at that time in that evening I don't want to cook, I went to that restaurant, it was closed. And many other things, those miracles happening in my life shocked me. The Lord is real, but I still don't know I'm a sinner. And then in 1998, I was baptized. They say, first you have to acknowledge you're a sinner. I know conceptually I'm a sinner, but I didn't experience that. And after that, after the baptism, the church was dismantled. And then I tried different church. And then those official church, I don't like because they are preaching the socialism ideology. So finally, we have to start with the Bible study in my house. And I said, okay, I can be a host family, and I can support you, I can prepare the food for you, but I don't want to preach. And they said, it is your house, you should preach. And then they said again and again, and one day I said, okay, I'll try to preach. Because I've been a teacher for some years, I think being a teacher, I can have the experience to speak. I prepared a 7-page or 8-page sermon, so-called sermon, and I stood in front of them, and I can hardly look from the menu, and I'm sweating, my shirt is soaked, and but even that, I finish it within 20 minutes. That is for maybe 40 minutes. And from the morning, my face flashed, and in the afternoon, it's still burning. So I think it is ministry is bad. I don't want to do that. But later, they found in year 2000, some people know I'm kind of English teacher, so they asked me to interpret, to translate their courses. So at that time, I began to translate their courses. I finished maybe 30 courses of their training. And sometimes I have to be their interpreter. And sometimes if they could not come to the site to train, they said, oh, you translate the course, you have to teach them. And that made me embarrassed. But in the year 2003, we have a training, and that training actually changed my life. In the early morning, I get up, I just try to do some morning exercise, but I see the trainee, those pastors are praying for those missionaries I cooperate with. I never see the people praying that earnestly to get the training. And when we finish that training session for a whole week, and at least two persons' life was impacted. One is American missionaries. From that is his first journey to China, and he made up his mind every year he would go to China 3 times. And from then on, I made up my mind, if the foreign brothers and sisters want to do missions in China, shall I do it for my brethren? But at that time, I still don't quite know I'm a sinner, only conceptual. I preached maybe from those years more than 500 sermons. I lead those Sunday schools. I lead Heidelberg Catechism and Westminster Shorter Catechism, and use those to lead them or make them qualified for baptism. But I don't quite experience the way I'm a sinner. But I know that I'm not qualified to be a teacher or leader in the church. So 2004, I do a PhD degree in China, that is religious study. I focus on John Calvin, so I wrote a dissertation on John Calvin. And then after that, I began to teach in underground seminary, and I taught maybe 400, 500 students there. I taught 6 courses, and Introduction to Philosophy, or some Bible scriptural books, Introduction to Religious Study, Introduction to John Calvin, and those courses. But I still do according to my so-called ability or talents the Lord gave me. But in order to do that, I have to squeeze my time. I stay up very, very late. Maybe usually I stay into 1 o'clock in the evening and get up around 5. So one day, one night, I collapsed onto the floor, almost exhausted to death. So at that time, I began to self-pity. I think, Lord, I have done this. And then I want to take a little rest. And the Lord gave me some rest. I began to cooperate with some of those Christian intellectuals. I'm one of their director. So we have 300 professors from different kind of universities. I coordinate those meetings. But that also make me struggle, because there are a lot of things I don't understand. I still try to think Christianity is a kind of intellectual career. Until 2011. Or 2011. There is a Canadian brother who came to China out of his own pocket to try to train the brothers and sisters there. And I know he's out of his own pocket, so I paid his meal, paid his hotel. I think I'm doing a good thing. So I'm full of love, right? And he told me, what is your next step? He said, I told him, probably I'm going to study theology. At that time, I tried to contact the Southern Baptist or Reformed Theological Seminary. I never thought about this. But he said, don't go there. I got you the best. He connected me to Calvin. He told me he is a board member of the Calvin Denominational Synod. So one day he gave me 5 calls. I know later it is through him that I was delivered into a good place that can be healed. I can go through, I can have a breakthrough from a self-centered so-called salvation. Because even though he got me connected, but I was refused by the American embassy the visa twice. So I totally collapsed. I said, Lord, I will preach the last sermon, Psalm 103. Later, I will not care leading the church, serving the church. I will be an average Christian. I can still support them out of love, but during that meditation, I know the Lord sees me. So, that is my journey. And I know some of you Christians here, you have been in the church for many, many years. You have know the idea a Christian doctrine. But if you don't experience the Lord's dealing in your life, you're still self-centered. So at that time, I translate the materials mainly for my enrichment. But later, the second step is love the Lord people. Because the first stage, David, when he was challenged by the Lord, he never thought about he is a king. He thought he is a sinner, forgiven sinner. He never thought about his career fighting the other nations, the enemies, and also after that, he know he is a tool used by the Lord to bless his people. So in the second paragraph, he began to thought about his nation. The Lord delivered them from Egypt. The Lord gave them law. The Lord is gracious, abundant in love. And then I began to reflect myself, my spiritual journey, my ministry. The first time I was led by the Lord, by the classmate into the Lord, and I was in the campus crusade meeting with them. But then he was put into prison. I think I'm somehow well-educated. I tried to find some intellectual church, house church, but they don't receive me. They said, we are afraid of the policeman, and we don't know whether you will be safe or not. And they refused me. I don't want to go to the thrift shop church or the official church, but somehow I got into that church, and some ministers were ministers who were put into prison for more than 20 years that courageously proclaiming the gospel. I was baptized in that church. And then when they closed, because they are moving, so I think I don't want to be involved with the rural church. But I was given the chance to preach in the church full of rural people. And that influenced me greatly again. Because even before I preach, we recite the Apostle Creed. I heard a little child, maybe 2 or 3 years old, very, very sweet voice. He's reciting that. I still remember that creed. And then later, I tried some charismatic church, because some charismatic church, they heal some people. And because some cancerous people, when through their prayer, they are healed. And some people, they are at the edge of death. They are resurrected by the Lord. So I love those charismatics. And then I begin to have a kind of heretic tendency. So my friend Bob called me. He said, okay, I think you have some heretic tendency. I will get you connected to the Reformed. But at that time, I don't know the Reformed. I began to translate. So I translate first the Dutch Reformed. So later I'm telling people I'm Dutch Reformed here. even though it is on the Chinese skin. But later, when I deal with them, I found some of them, they are so cold. So I say, oh, it is not a good one. But I don't know, because there are so many Reformed churches, so many Reformed Christians. So that makes me struggle. And then when I do my PhD, I visit Hong Kong, I visit Taiwan, and I begin to be a kind of involved in different denominations. I found they are loving Christians. And when I was in Taiwan, a Lutheran church pastor is teaching theology in the Reformed seminary. And he spent 2 days to mentor me. That had broadened my horizon. And then after I finished that visiting course, I went to Regent College. I stayed there, and one of the pastors lead a church that has a mixed congregation. They have some brethren, they have some Anglicans, they have some evangelicals, they have even a Catholic nun. They are all worshiped together. Because that, I asked the Catholic nun, of course, former, and she told me they are loving people. They are preaching the gospel. So those things challenged me. I began to thought about how can my ministry be less judgmental but more blessing to the other brothers and sisters. So I began to translate some of those books. I translate some of the Reformed, Louis Burkhoff. I also do some of the Charles Holt, Presbyterian. And I do the Westminster Catechism. I also do the Heidelberg Catechism. And some other Belgic confession. So I also try to do those Baptist creeds, because those Chinese brothers and sisters, they don't know the denomination. If we just at the very beginning told, oh, you are not a Christian, you're not a Christian like me, we are dividing the church. So that is part of my translation. And also, I begin to try to coordinate course. That train the pastor. From, for example, those preaching courses. And also some courses to help with the believers. Not of Chinese Christians, they don't know much about the denomination. But they all love Andrew Murray. So in order to do that, I translate, up to now I have translated 8. And I plan to finish maybe all of his major books, around 40. So that is part of it. And I try to coordinate some resources to mentor the pastors. You can see this picture. There are three Christian. One was President Bush. That is a lawyer, and he's joined us big for the church. But in 2018, he was given a shot and declared died of cancer. And this brother, he led a church, and he was beaten to death and deserted somewhere naked. And the church is praying for him, and he was raised by the Lord. This man just recently was put into prison 9 years. And 7 or 8 of church pastors suffer anxiety or depression. So that is part of my concern. And also, have just a quick. The third stage is empathetic, because sometimes we just care about ourselves, our denomination, our people, our church. But now the Chinese people are suffering from coronavirus. There is a public figure around 1,500. But usually when you take the Chinese figure, Chinese governmental figure, you should put a zero after that. That is probably the real figure. And a lot of people, they are enclosed. But they are also a creature of God. They also bear the image of God. And there are two hundred fifty million Chinese people suffer from mental illness because the evil government. They either drug them, put them into the mental health center so that they cannot speak out their situation. There are many, many parents who suffer from one-child policy. Every year, there are 10 million child aborted. Their parents suffer from the offense. Their time is fleeting. Their time is short. Their life is meaningless. How can we help that? So that is part of my concern. I've just tried to help them. And not to do that, we have some training for the pastors. This is some conference we did in South Korea. And also we coordinate some course that is taught by some of my friends, because I did some academic training, so I have some connections. Those groups are mainly from one foundation, and most of them are trained to be future teachers or professors. And this is my advisor of PhD. This is my classmate, and all those people are trying to coordinate them to teach the course. So that is part of my ministry. And from my self-centered, salvation-centered ministry to enrich myself, or even at that time, I don't know the God's love or my sinner's identity, and I make a breakthrough to care about the other church, the other denomination that is a national. And then I began to care about the other non-believers. So hopefully that is also your spiritual journey. And I'm not mean to come here to just share my ministry and say, give money. No. I just want to be a can of blessings and share my spiritual journey and maybe just a short a cheer up, because to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because we all have to fight the good fight and run the race. When we finish the race, I hope the Lord can say to us, you faithful servant, can come and enjoy the feast prepared for you guys. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving me the chance to be with the brothers and sisters here. I pray you bless the brothers, and so that brothers and sisters, so they can also experience what King David has experienced, from personal to national, from national to even to a human race, and even to the universal praise, because our end is to know you and enjoy you forever and forever. Lord, give us the vision and give us the courage so that we can pray for each other. We pray to know your will. We fellowship to build the team. We care about the people to build the church. We want to glorify you. We pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's show John our appreciation.
Thank you.